अर्थलिंगाय नमसे ಬಹಿರಾತ್ಮನೆ
ನಮಃ
ಪುಣ್ಯಾಯ ಲೋಕಾಯ ಅಮುಷ್ಮೈ ಭೂರಿ ವಾಚಸೆ ಅರ್ಥಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಸೆ ನಮೋದ್ಧಾರ ಬಹಿರಾತ್ಮನೆ ನಮಃ ಪುಣ್ಯಾಯ ಲೋಕಾಯ ಅಮುಷ್ಮೈ ಭೂರಿ ವಾಚಸೆ ಅರ್ಥಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಸೆ ನಮೋದ್ಧಾರ ಬಹಿರಾತ್ಮನೆ ನಮಃ ಪುಣ್ಯಾಯ ಲೋಕಾಯ ಅಮುಷ್ಮೈ ಭೂರಿ ವಾಚಸೆ
ಅರ್ಥ meaning lingaya revealing namaste under the sky namaha offering obeisances anta within my ear without atmane under the self namaha offering obeisances punyaya pious activities lokaya for creation amoshmaya beyond death Bodhivarchase, supreme effulgence. Translation, my dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without, and you are the ultimate goal of highest activities executed both in this world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. Purport Vedic evidence is called the Shabda Brahma. There are many things which are beyond the perception of our imperfect senses, yet the authoritative evidence of sound vibration is perfect. The Vedas are known as Shabda Brahma because evidence taken from the Veda constitutes the ultimate understanding. This is because Shabda Brahma or the Vedas represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the real essence of the Shabda Brahma is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By vibrating this transcendental sound, the meaning of everything both material and spiritual is revealed. This Hare Krishna is not different from the personality of Godhead. The meaning of everything is received through the air, through sound vibration. The vibration may be material or spiritual, but without sound vibration, no one can understand the meaning of anything. And the Vedas it is that Antarbhah hears Sha, Tat Sarvam Vyaya Narayana Ha Stitha. Narayana is all-pervading and exists both within and without. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yatra-Kasati-Rateka, Krishna, Loka, Imam Ravi, Kshetram, Shekrita, Krishna, Prakasa, Yati, Bharata. O son of Bharata, as the sun alone illuminates all the universe, so does the living entity and the supersoul illuminate the entire body and consciousness. In other words, the consciousness of both the soul and supersoul is all-pervading. The limited consciousness of the living entity is pervading the entire material body, and the supreme consciousness of the Lord is pervading the entire universe. Because the soul is present within the body, consciousness pervades the entire body. Similarly, because the supreme consciousness is present within the universe, everything is working in order. Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyadeshra Satsara Charam. This material nature is working in my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. But Shiva is therefore praying to the personality of God to be kind to us. So simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. The word amushmai is significant in this regard because it indicates the best target one can aim for after attaining the higher spiritual systems. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities attain the higher planetary systems as a result of their past activities, and the jnanis receive unification or monistic merging with the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, also attain their desired end. But in the ultimate issue, the devotees who desire to personally associate with the Lord are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas or Goloka Vrindavan. The Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as Pavitram Paramam, the Supreme Pure. This is also confirmed in this verse. Sukadeva Goswami has stated that the cowherd boys who played with Krishna were not ordinary living entities. Only after accumulating many pious activities in various births does one get the opportunity to personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since only the pure can reach him, he is the Supreme Pure. My dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all pervading sky within and without, and you are the ultimate. The goal of pious activities executed both in the material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again to the end of you. So here Shiva describes the Supreme Lord in various ways. The first of which is Artalinga, so which means, of course, Arta means the meaning, and Linga means representing. So the Lord is represented through various things. And of course, one of these things is scripture. The Lord can personally come in the material world, but that is direct. So how is he represented? So he's represented through the scripture. So that is the linga, the representation of the Lord. In this way, scripture is considered absolute. The Lord is absolute and scripture is absolute. If scripture is material and the Lord is spiritual, there's no possible way in which scripture can say anything about the Lord. This actually was the question asked by Maharaj Pariksit to Sukadeva Goswami in the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, which constitutes the prayers of the personified Vedas. How is it possible that the Vedas can describe the Supreme Lord, since sound describes material things? How can it describe the Supreme Lord? And of course, the normal conception of the Lord is he has no qualities or form or everything, and words describe qualities. So if the Lord is nirguna, how can something which has got gunas describe him at all? So that was the question of Pariksit. And then Sukadeva answers by reciting another story of how in the higher planetary systems they also ask the same question. And in response to that, then the prayers of the personified Vedas are recited to illustrate that the Supreme Lord is not without qualities, it is with qualities. So therefore, the idea that the Lord has no qualities is not true. And the other point is, of course, that the scripture is non-material. So therefore, it can represent the Lord. It is not in the gunas also. So because the scripture is nirguna and absolute, it can depict the Supreme Lord. So this is the what is said here, that the scripture represents the Supreme Lord. So it is equal to the Supreme Lord, and if we have the proper consciousness and meaning, then we can understand the Supreme Lord through the scriptures. He is also described here as the sky. So sometimes, like in the Upanishads and in the Brahma Sutras, Brahman is addressed as Akash or other elements. Even earth. So this obviously doesn't mean that the Lord is a material element, but that some of the qualities of those elements are in the Lord. But of course, this is only by analogy, since Akash and earth are material things, so all the qualities are material. However, they do have certain qualities which resemble those of the Lord. So the quality of akasa is it pervades everywhere in the material world. And everything has akasa in it. Even earth has akasa in it. So akasa is pervading in water, earth, and fire, and air. And it's, it's all pervasive in its aspects. So in this way, the Lord also is all pervasive. But of course, not limited like ether. Ether is limited to the material elements and its pervasion. It's not going to the spiritual world at all. So, the Supreme Lord pervades also in everything. Without the Lord's presence, nothing operates. He pervades as Paramatma in everything. So therefore it says antarbahir atmane. He is inside and outside of everything. This of course indicates some sort of contradiction, because if he's inside, how can it be outside? Or if he's outside, how can it be inside? The object is here, how can it be there? So there's a little contradiction there. However, the Supreme Lord has achintya shakti, by which he can be inside and outside simultaneously. He can be everywhere, and he can also in the material world, and he can also not be there at all, because he's also in the spiritual world. So he's in the material world, and he's outside the material world also. So this is the nature of the Lord Shakti. He can do things which are normally not possible for us. So therefore he's inside and outside of everything. And then he's described as punya. Punyaya lokaya. He's attained by punya. But of course punya is material, so you cannot really attain the Lord by material punya. The other method of meaning of punya, of course, is pure. Yeah, so of course we have sudha and visuddha, or sudha sattva. So the Lord is attained by pure activities. Jnana and karma and yoga are not pure because they're in the gunas. Only bhakti is pure. So the method of attaining the Lord actually is not by karma or jnana or punyas or anything, but by bhakti. So that's the ultimate pure method of attaining the Lord. The Lord actually is makes it indirectly achieved by these other methods, but not directly. So the direct method is through bhakti. And it is through that that one can not only attain the Lord, but one can actually stop birth and death, go to the spiritual world, develop a spiritual body, etc. And this word burivarchase, of course, means literally full of light, full of effulgence, full of glory, full of power. So how is that manifest? That is manifest through his wonderful qualities. How do we appreciate the greatness of the Supreme Lord? Through his wonderful qualities. So that is what the meaning of Bhagavan is. Bhagavan means he has all virya, yasa, aishvarya, jnana, vairagya, etc. All these sort of qualities are in the Lord. So in this way, the Lord is not impersonal or without qualities, rather he has qualities. And he has many qualities, but they're not material. So the Lord can be represented in the Vedas with words, but the words denote spiritual qualities, not material qualities. Of course, because we're in the material world, if we read scripture, we automatically think of material things. If we say Krishna's blue, we'll think of material blue. If we say he's big or small, then we'll think material big or small. So therefore, in reading the scripture, we have to have the proper consciousness so that we don't give material attributes to the Supreme Lord when we hear these words which look material. So that requires that we actually do have some qualification to read scripture. And of course, if we hear the scripture with faith through parampara, then we can get the proper meaning, that is the spiritual meaning of the scripture. So the Padma Purana says that if you're avaishnava, you have no faith, and you read the scripture which is pure, kutam harikata amritam, it is very pure. Nevertheless, it doesn't have a pure effect. It becomes like poison. So, scripture can have the truth in it, but for one who has not got the proper faith, then it's material. You'll see it materially. They'll get material meaning from it. So we do have to have that faith and have the commentary of the acharyas, then we can actually get the benefit of the scripture. So the Lord is represented in the scripture, but then there's some qualification there. We have to have qualification to approach the scripture and get the proper meaning. Then we can understand the inconceivable nature of the Lord, that He can be both inside and outside of everything. He can pervade everything. He can also be localized. We can understand the inconceivable nature of the Lord. So the approach, of course, is through bhakti, because bhakti is nirguna. If we follow a material process, how can we see the Lord? If we follow material words and material scriptures, how can we understand the Lord? We can't. So therefore, the scripture is pure, and the process of bhakti must also be pure to approach the Lord. Yeah? So they're all spiritual processes, not material processes. So the scripture is non-different from the Lord, and bhakti is non-different from the Lord. The other processes are different from the Lord. That is the distinction. So it is through this process of pure bhakti that one can actually understand scripture and realize the Supreme Lord, who is full of spiritual qualities. If we take material meaning, we will realize material things only. We cannot realize spiritual things. So in this way, the scriptures are valuable, and the process of bhakti is the method by which we can actually realize the wonderful qualities of the Lord. Yeah, of course, faith may already be there without association in this life, because we associated in last life. In other words, through a gap of Sukritis, and gradually that faith develops, and then in one life it appears. When we have the faith, then we'll associate with devotees consciously. If we don't have faith, we won't do it consciously, because we have no interest. So that is why the agata sukriti is required. Accidental acts of devotion help us get that faith.
Maharaj, usually when they are going to the material world, they have no understanding of the spiritual dimension. And when they read scriptures, they understand that Krishna is no dimension like Lotus. So is it that because they have an idea about the material objects, they get some idea about the spiritual world?
Yeah, in other words, it's suggestive for them. So various analogies are used. Krishna's beautiful like the moon, or whatever like that, or things like that. So in this way, just as we have the vibhutis in the material world, so of mountains, I'm the Himalayas, and rivers, I'm the Ganga. So from this, we understand something of the nature of the Supreme Lord by comparison. So comparisons are often used. At the same time, ultimately, we should not think that blue is this blue, or moon is like that moon we have. There's a moon in the spiritual world also, so. We also have to understand that we're describing something which is spiritual, not material. But it gives us some idea of the nature of the Supreme Lord. It depends on their goal. If they are devotees of Shiva and they want to serve Shiva, they go to Shiva and serve him. If they want to merge in the Brahman, okay, he'll also help them do that.
Shiva is the greatest devotee. But he came as a Shankaracharya, but he didn't behave as a Vishnu.
What's that?
Vishnu is the greatest devotee. When he came as a Shankaracharya.
Shankaracharya.
Yeah, he didn't behave as a Vishnu.
Yeah. To cheat people. covered Buddhism. To prevent cover. In one sense, he had a mission, and that is to fool the Buddhists. And use Buddhist arguments to stop the spread of Buddhism. So he stopped Buddhism, yes. So he did that as Shankaracharya.
Maharaj, for understanding these scriptures, qualification is required. But we engage in Buddhist worship. We Vishnu and the Vishnu as many groups as possible. But if one requires qualification to read them, then most people are not.
Yeah, so they get the Gyanasutra Sukadeva Tatchina book, I suppose. If they don't read, obviously, they don't get much benefit. Yeah. But if actually they give a donation or they touch it, yes, they do get benefit from that also. So that's their Gyanasutra Sukadeva. In association with the devotee, they get that Gyanasutra Sukadeva.
He said to preach this, but the minimum is that he has a table not, but he is buying
books.
Yeah.
Well, as long as he's not a demon. One can preach to the innocent. One avoids the asuras.
The last
day we
explained the pillars of the
pure.
How do we understand
when a Vaishnava chant
becomes
poisonous?
What's that? The last name being the pillars
of the pure.
How do we understand when a
Vaishnava chant becomes poisonous?
Offense. Poisonous. Huh? Yes, offense, because of offense. Then it doesn't have a good effect, it's a bad effect. The offense.
By chanting Hare Krishna, all material, spiritual are made for Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, all material and spiritual relations are made. What does Hare Krishna have to do with the man of Raja?
Material?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that means simply that whatever can be available by karma yoga or such a process is also available in bhakti, even though the devotee doesn't want it. That's all. But of course, the devotee doesn't really want those things because usually they're unfavorable for his bhakti.
Those are fellows in Bhakshiva, and they go to Bhakshiva, but they are not pure as Vaishnava.
Well, most of them, yeah, those that worship Shiva are not worship him as the follower of Vishnu. Those who do are in the Shiva Sampradaya, that is the Vallabhas. They worship him as a devotee. And he teaches bhakti, so they worship Vishnu.
Yoga chants Hare Krishna Mantra. Is it to purify himself or is it to give Krishna Mantra?
What's that?
Yoga chants Hare Krishna Mantra. Is it to purify himself or is it to give Krishna Mantra? What consciousness does he have to chant Krishna?
Well, it depends on the individual. Some may have a better faith than others, some may have mixed faith, some may have, you know, depends on the individual. Ideally, of course, you should get the teachings of pure bhakti and chant like that.
Thank you.